Shalom and welcome to this concluding part of our daily devotion for this week. And we've been looking at falling away. And I want us to conclude by looking at the third way in which we can guard against falling away. Let us take our reading from Hosea chapter 2, verse 16. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Ba. Now, God is not saying you shall stop worshipping Ba, and then you shall start worshipping me. You see, it is one thing to call upon Ba because Ba is your God. It's quite a different thing if you think you are worshipping Yahweh, but actually you are worshipping him as Ba. So this is a people who are calling on Yahweh, not as Yahweh, but as Ba. Who was Ba? This was a pagan deity. It was a god of fertility and agriculture. Put in simple words, he was a god of prosperity. That is one. Secondly, he was a warrior god, a god of military strength, a god of protection. When we look at that, brethren, you should be able to notice that that is the exact thing which has happened in Christianity. Prosperity is not what defines our relationship with God. You know, if someone loves to be around you, or they are in a friendship with you because of certain benefits they enjoy out of that relationship is not really based on love. It is based on exploitation and convenience. But is it not strange that many times that is how we find ourselves relating with God? You know, it is like one time when Job went through so much trial that he began to ask certain questions. When you read Job 21, he asks, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old? Yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them." Well, those are deep questions. And obviously, before Job went through the trials he went through, when everything seemed to be okay, he never thought he would come to a point in life where he would ask such questions. And that is why one can never be too sure of themselves. Many times it takes God taking us walk through the fire to bring to surface certain things we never knew could hide within our hearts. But well, when God manifested to Job and asked him certain questions, we see that the Job you see in Job chapter 1 is a different Job you see in the concluding chapter of his book. And here is something that we read in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 37, verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." And well, through all that terrible ordeal Job went through, he certainly learned patience. "Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Verse 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Now, When our relationship with God is defined by the good things he supplies, our relationship really is not with God. Our relationship is with those things which come our way. It can be goodness, good health, prosperity, and all that. Now, you know the danger of that? When the supplier at the other end is changed, you won't mind who is the supplier, because your relationship is with these seemingly good things which are coming your way. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew better. When you read their testimony, when Nebuchadnezzar threatened them that if you don't bow to the image, you'll be thrown into the fire, this is what they said: God is able to protect us from the fire. But if he chooses not to do so, we'll still worship him. These are men who worshipped God, not for what benefit they could enjoy from him, but for who he is. So we worship God not based on our feelings or a certain circumstance, be it pain or enjoyment. We worship God for who he is. You know, at one time, Brother Branham made quite a strong statement. He says, even if I was to find myself in hell, I would still worship and love my God. Wow, that is a person who has come to the point of real intimacy with God. You know, when you read Matthew 22, verse 35, the Lord Jesus mentions something very deep. And when you speak to believers, we are a people who love deep things, deep mysteries, deep truths. Here is something deep, yet so simple. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And the Lord Jesus answered in verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Whatever you can read in the Bible, it really comes down to loving God with everything that is in you. And Paul has something to say about this. Romans 8, verse 35. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now, when you talk of tribulation, distress, these are things that can shake you emotionally, and there are people who've given up on God, or they've gotten angry with God because of certain things which happened, where they felt, is God really with me? But here is someone, Paul, who went through so much calamity. He prayed for the sick that could get healed, but you know he had a terrible problem, which he could only call, you know, a thorn in my flesh. And he says, I prayed about it 3 times. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. What do we learn from that? God's grace isn't physical or material blessings we can enjoy. To Paul, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. We continue reading in verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When someone is grounded on this kind of a faith, it is not possible to fall away. Because you see, we are on a journey of faith. And on this journey, some people fall away, some people backslide. We need to ask ourselves, what causes a person to backslide? Well, it really comes down to this. It's about what motivates you to be on that journey. Your goal is what determines how far you will go. Because it is priorities that set us on a certain path in life. Now, if someone's motivation is based on something temporal, when that thing moves away, it means there is no carrot to entice you. It means your walk goes with that thing. So the question is, what is the goal of your faith? Look at what Paul wrote here. He says, nothing. Is it nakedness? Is it because of our poor clothing? And is it the lack of food? He says, nothing will separate us from the love of God. This is a man who came up to that point of loving God truly. And that is why in another place Paul says, I have learned to be content. There are times where I've had plenty, enjoyed these kind of blessings. There are times where I've been in lack. And he says, I'm content, whichever way. His primary motivation is something higher than what the flesh can benefit. And let me conclude on this note. You know, many times, let me say when I was growing up as a Christian, as a young, zealous Pentecostal believer, evangelism is something which really caught my attention, and I used to move from place to place whilst very young. You know, I would preach the word of God, but, you know, we had a little group. We used to call it evangelism team. And we would preach by scaring people with hellfire so that they can find heaven interesting. You know, would preach to the people, one day there will be a rapture. And if you remain, there will be 666, the mark of the beast. And you know what? Terrible things will be happening. There will be the great tribulation. And once in a while, you find someone repenting, well, out of fear. But did you know that true repentance is not motivated by fear? It is motivated by an awakening that lets someone see the love of God. So, our desire for the rapture should never be because we are afraid of the great tribulation. No. If that is our motivation, then we wouldn't have believed the message in the early church, because what those apostles went through, that was tribulation, and it wasn't a small tribulation. It was a great deal of tribulation. So, are we looking forward to the rapture because we're afraid of what will become of this world? Well, surely there will be trouble and God will have to take away his bride before that comes. But that is not our primary motivation. Heaven is not some form of fire insurance. Let's conclude with 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. Paul tells us what kind of a people the rapture is for. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The question before us is, do we love his appearing? That question has to be answered very honestly. because our lips can declare we love God, but our hearts really are after cares of this life, cares of the world. But God knows who are His. Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, knows who are love sick for Him. Yeah. And in concluding, I would say the rapture will not be a theological event where people who've mastered certain doctrines and mysteries, all those things are essentials, but yet the rapture won't be a theological event. It won't be about how many mysteries do you know in your head. No. It's a question of what have those mysteries done to you, to your life? Do mysteries just make you proud? Do mysteries just make you increase in knowledge? No, it shouldn't be. When God reveals His word, it should make you love Him more and more and make you even more humble. So the rapture will not be a theological event. The rapture will be a love attraction event where people who are so much in love with Jesus Christ, they'll be so lovesick that they'll hate the evil and the wickedness in this world. They'll have a closer relationship with God until God will just whisk them away. So, when you read Hosea 2:16, that's a relationship God is looking for. They'll call me Ishi. Ishi means my husband, my man. It's a personal walk with God. When we're in a personal walk with God, the way Abraham walked with God as a friend, the falling away won't have any place in you.